This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, it is the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. It's a show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. And tonight, we're venturing off to Cambodia. Big thank you to the team from Generation Next. Dylan, with his croaky voice, did a great job hanging in there right till the end. And a reminder to everybody, thank you to everybody for being a part of our Radiothon show and the whole of Radiothon here at Joy. It's not too late to be in the running to win the Suzuki Swift. It's drawn this Friday night, so take your membership out before this Friday and you're in the running for the Suzuki Swift. Now, tonight, as I mentioned, we'll be off to Cambodia. We're speaking to Srun Srun from ROC, the Rainbow Community of Kampuchea. And we'll be talking about what happens if you're a 16-year-old lesbian coming out to your family and your mother is not happy. We'll be looking back to the years of the Khmer Rouge, where pretty much anybody that was seen as different, including the gay community, was killed. And we'll be asking the question, when coming out in modern-day Cambodia, when coming out to your parents, who takes it worst, your mum or your dad? We'd love to get you involved in the show. You can send us a message on the SMS. That's 0427JOY949. Email onair@joy.org.au. Hello to Robert there on the front desk. You can call him on 1300JOY949. And we are live on Facebook, World Wide Wave or W3JOY. But we're going to start off our show with some music from Cambodia. And in fact, this song is called Cambodia. This is the club remix by Bass Unique, made famous by Kim Wilde. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, it's the World Wide Wave, and that was Cambodia, the club mix by Bass Unique. We are traveling to Southeast Asia, that's Cambodia today, a country where same-sex sexual activity is legal, with a bit of a catch, though. What would those catch be?
Well, it must be consensual, so that's a good thing, but non-commercial. They're very big on non-prostitution, I guess, is the other way of looking at it. Non-commercial consensual sex is legal.
And as we'll hear later in the show from our guest, Srun Srun from the Rainbow Community Kampuchea, or ROC as it's called, the government will often use human trafficking or kidnapping or sex with minor laws in order to sort of snag people. So it's legal, but it's not as legal as, say, in Thailand.
There are some interesting similarities with Thailand, though. So there's, if you like, three genders in the traditional cultural mores of Cambodia. There's Bros, the male, Srey, the female, and there is Katoy, which, very similar to the Thai pronunciation, is a third gender, an intermediate between the two. It's quite a broad subgroup, and it's got its own subgroups within that as well. They vary on the degree of masculinity as to whether the Katoy is more feminine or more masculine. They tend to face a good degree of discrimination themselves. Generally, in Cambodian society, if you are discreet, then nobody has a problem. But if you are very much out there, then that's when people start to have problems.
Yes. And continuing on with fun fast facts, and Tom, we love you. We hope you're doing well out there. But in 2007, the Prime Minister of Cambodia... Now, let's pause button for a second. Let's imagine that Tony Abbott becomes our prime minister. His sister, you know, open, gay. What's he going to do about her?
Well, we would hope support her, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know. Well, what do you think the prime minister of Cambodia did when his adopted daughter came out as a lesbian?
I don't think he took it too well.
No, good guess. He, in fact, publicly stated that he was disowning and disinheriting her. So that's not so cool. But on a positive note, a lot of Buddhist followers and Buddhisms are extremely supportive of Cambodia's LGBT population and including and working actively with ROC, Cambodia's LGBT organization. And the royal family, now this is different from the prime minister, but the royal family is broadly and publicly supportive of all types of diversity, LGBT community included.
So the former king started that off, who basically, after same-sex couples were able to marry in San Francisco, came out and said that he felt God loved a wide range of tastes. His successor and his son, the current king, then came out later and said that the Cambodian royal family, this is publicly put out a statement, the Cambodian royal family as a whole shares the same point of view as the king father, and that the royal family has always been very tolerant of sexual preferences, as some of the Khmer royals are or were openly gay and lesbian.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it then, I guess Cambodia, you know, we started off with this club mix. Cambodia is kind of like the queer mix. It's got a mix of really good legislation and bad legislation, supporters and non-supporters. So it'll be exciting to go tonight as we talk to Shrun Shrun and hear a bit more about him. But first, we've got a song coming up, and that song is Sweet Like Candy by Saray Savi.
And Saray Savi is one of the youngest Cambodian performers. At 17, had already put out albums and currently performing in America. This is Sweet Like Candy on Joy 94.9. And it's Joy 94.9, the World Wide Wave, where tonight we are in Cambodia. Now, if you have anything you'd like to say, any questions or comments on the show, you can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, phone 1300 Joy 949. Email is onair@joy.org.au and Facebook, World Wide Wave. You can find us there. We are live on Facebook right now.
Now, earlier in the week, we chatted with Shrun Shrun from Cambodia. Now, he is a member or the organizer in ROC, Cambodia's LGBT organization. And we asked him a bit about what his organization is doing. And let me tell you, they are amazing. They've got everything going from awareness to counseling to working with unis to activism.
To Pride, running
legal
Pride
support,
events.
Running the Pride event, which they've just finished, and he's on a bit of a buzz about that. And they're even going into provincial areas, into the police stations, and demanding that they give marriage certificates to same-sex couples. So we'll hear a bit about all the activism that they're doing now.
What support does your organisation, Rainbow Community Kampuchea, provide for LGBT people?
The first is about we try to provide awareness session about gender identity, sexual orientation and human rights to all our network in different provinces. And the second, we provide the counseling. So when any LGBT friend who face police arrest them or family treat them in the very bad way or discriminate against them or workplace, we just provide them the counseling. And if some case we help, some of our lesbians have been arrested and sent to prison because of last year we have one case that our lesbian friend was sent to a prison for 5 years because of they love with another girl. So the problem, they use the human trafficking laws to force the lesbian couple from each other, and they charge us under kidnapping or under human trafficker or under having sex with minor people. So those are the way that some of the parents have been this law to treat their children. And another one, we try to a type of working with the local authority to make sure that the local authority are very helpful or understand about why being gay, why the human right has to be respected or has to be included with the LGBT community, because we want the local authority understand that LGBT rights are human rights. So we work with the some of the monks or pagoda, so we try to talk, because the pagoda or the Buddhism followers, they are very supportive. Because when we talk about LGBT community, the monks, most of the monks that we meet, they really helpful. They come and share about their experience being a Buddhism follower, and they share to other people, which telling them that Even Buddha, does not discriminate against LGBT community. And we also work with some universities and schools to share about the SOGI, sexual orientation and gender identity and human rights. And we also work with some ministry like Ministry of Women Affairs to develop the national action plan for 5 years to stop gender-based violence against women and lesbian people. And with the Ministry of Interior, I mean, yeah. Besides that, some of our activities is a type of direct support or referral system. If there is any LGBT friend come to us about legal support and we cannot support them, we refer them to the legal organization to support them, to provide them the legal counseling. But it's very hard for now because there is no NGO who are working for the legal support for LGBT community yet. Actually, there is one organization who is a human rights organization, but we don't really get them involved with them very much yet because they don't understand well about our issue. So they need time to build their legal system to support us.
So what do you hope for the future?
In the future, we start to build the LGBT activity in different provinces. There are 24 provinces. So 20 provinces, we have our LGBT activists there. So we build them by providing them like documentation training. So we train them about how to document the human rights abuses for their friends in their own community. And the second, we try to select all the police and commune staff to provide a family book and marriage certificate to the homosexual couples. So we will collect it and we will bring the couple. Last year, we bring around 76 couples, lesbian couple and gay couple, and they are living together from 10 years to 50 years. And this year, we will invite more than 70, and we will invite the commune staff who provide a family book and the marriage certificate to let them explain how experience that they have to provide a family book or a type of support document by the government.
And we are going to hear some more from Sran Sran very shortly from ROC, I love the name, the Rainbow Community of Kampuchea. And a voice, an unknown voice for World Wide Wave listeners in there was Mason, who was a guest interviewer. Thank you, Mason, for coming along as a part of that interview.
And arranging all the questions to ask. We appreciate the research that you did on that one.
Doing a lot of great work for such a young organisation. It actually was born out of one of the first Pride events. As a result of that, they decided to get together and form a group that would provide all these support services. And they seem to be doing an incredible amount of work.
I know. I mean, when you think about it, they're working with local authorities, with unis, with schools, with NGOs, even though they say that it's quite difficult to get NGOs involved in terms of human rights. But they are trying to make contact with them. They're working in the provinces, in the cities. They're working with folks having trouble with gender ID, with human rights activists, with people getting out of prison for LGBT reasons, because even though it's not illegal, they're still finding ways to imprison them.
Yeah, it's this interesting balance whereby the laws don't, there's no, if you like, anti-gay laws, no laws that say homosexuality is illegal, but within the organisations of government and law enforcement, there's still, again, it's that thing that if you stand out a bit, you're going to get noticed, and the police finding different laws to charge gay people under. Human trafficking was one that we heard there in the interview.
Although not always the case, and we'll hear this later on in an interview. Definitely stay tuned for this one. But we do hear about some folks 60, 70 years old still part of the organization, and some of them have been in same-sex relationships, basically marriages, for the last 50 years. Pretty exciting. Coming up now, though, we've got a song with a bit of a story behind it.
In fact, it's an Australian link. This is Jay Chan, who escaped Cambodia through the Khmer, or after the Khmer Rouge regime was in, and grew up, showed his singing talent, and the talent ran in the family. He did not know his father, and he was searching around for his father, who he found out was living in Australia and who lived with his uncle, Mr. Kong Vanna, in Australia, who is also a Cambodian singer. And he had a dream to be reunited with his father, and that dream came true in 2009 when he came out to Australia to visit his father. This is The Final Answer from Cambodian singer Jay Chan. You're on Joy 94.9.
Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. Show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we are in Cambodia. Cambodia, the country of mixes. The mix between being extremely open about same-sex activity and having a growing pride parade and having people who are 60, 70 years old that have been in same-sex marriages for half a century mixed in with the fact that the Prime Minister of Cambodia publicly disowned his daughter, and that there's just a bit of, it may be legal, but the police are still getting some education from folks like Shron Shron at Rock.
Now, you mentioned there the Pride Parade, and we're going to hear a bit about Cambodian Pride in Phnom Penh. Now, let's think about this. What would you expect from a Pride Parade in Phnom Penh in Cambodia? I mean, Mardi Gras, it's a march up the streets. It came out of a protest.
San Francisco, dykes on bikes. So we got motorcycles happening.
Netherlands. Canals, they have Canal Pride. What would you expect?
We'd love to know. So you can SMS us 0427-JOY949. Shoot us an email at onair@joy.org.au. But in the meanwhile, we'll be listening to Shron Shron. We asked him about the recent Pride Festival.
It was very wonderful and fantastic Pride Week that we did. And especially we have the parade or indoor workshop or meeting. And this time we also do the, the tuk-tuk, right? Yes, it is a type of bicycle or motorbike which have three wheels. In the parade, we have about 150 or less than, because we have only 22 tuk-tuk. And each tuk-tuk was between 5, 6, or 7 people in one tuk-tuk. So it's around 120 or 130, something like that.
During the Pride Week, there were several workshops, and one was calling Coming Out Because We Are Not Wrong. How did that session go, and what kind of discussion and information was covered?
Actually, we have a three workshop. It is the first day is about coming out and frequently asked question workshop, which we really want to help our LGBT friends who come from about 20 provinces, because there are also indigenous people who are in this coming out workshop. The main idea is just want to help our LGBT friends to know how to talk to their parents if they want to coming out to their family, or they can talk to the school, the teacher or friend if they want to coming out in school or workplace. So the workshop is very important for the LGBT community, and also help them how to answer some questions, which is very insulting question. So the first day of the workshop is a day of knowing each other, sharing about their own experience, how they the old lesbian or old gay, who they coming out for 40 years or 50 years, because in the workshop, some of them, they are 60 or 70 years old. So they come and share their own experience, how they coming out in the community, why the village leader or community chef can provide them the family book, or some of them have the marriage certificate. Even in Cambodia, there is no law support us to have the same-sex marriage. But in the reality, in the community, we have more than hundreds of couples who already live together and have the family book or marriage certificate.
Is it easier for people in the provinces to be married and to be out, or is it easier if you're living in the big cities?
Actually, it's not really about how easy it is. It depends on how the couples, they live together in that area. They are not mobiling from one place to another place. So we have a type of couple who live together for 50 years. So they say they live there before Khmer Rouge. And then after Khmer Rouge, they still live together as the couples. And then the villagers and commune chef or police, they know this couple very well. So they accept the communities, the police, or the neighbors, they accept this couple. So actually, in the province, the lesbian people or the transgender female to male seem likely there are a lot of acceptance from their community. But for the gay or for the transgender male to female, it seems very hard because they are not really stay in one place. They always move from one to another. But anyway, for the couple situation, as long as that our culture just always treat us to be straight, to be heterosexual, we are not easy. I mean, especially the young lesbian or gay people, the family treat them to be straight, or the school treat them to be straight. So that's why the young people, they are not really stay in one place. They always move from one to another.
It's the World Wide Wave, and you're hearing the voice of Srun Srun from ROCK, the Rainbow Community Kampuchea Group, the most significant not-for-profit group in Cambodia, providing a whole range of support and driving their annual Pride Parade. In fact, the organisation was born out of the 2009 Pride Parade. Wow. Busy. And what was the answer to our mystery question there?
Tuk-tuks.
So the Pride Parade is, how many tuk-tuks did you say?
22 tuk-tuks.
22 tuk-tuks streaming down the street amidst a flurry of rainbows.
I love that. In fact, if I ever went to Sydney Mardi Gras, I think I would love to ride on a tuk-tuk.
That'd be great.
It's practical.
Probably works better in Cambodia than in Sydney, yeah, but you know.
You know, if you're walking, I love that they had 5 to 6 people crowded into each one too. That's just fantastic. Now, first off, let's talk about that. 70 years old.
Yeah, they had participants in there in their coming out workshop who were 60 to 70 years old.
Now, the Khmer
Rouge, that's a long time to wait.
For those of you, you know, younger than 70, we're talking about the Khmer Rouge, a regime where they really wanted everyone to be equal. This meant, for example, if you wore glasses, you were at risk of being persecuted by the state government because it kind of meant you were a bit too educated and too elite. So we're looking at that, and we're talking about LGBT people who were in same-sex relationships living together and lived through the Khmer Rouge.
Yeah, it's interesting because the artistic communities by and large fled Cambodia during the Khmer Rouge because they were seen as the bourgeois elite, and they had to flee for their lives. But again, it sort of comes back to this this thing whereby if you are, I guess, discreet, if you just go about living your life, you're not standing out, then you can go on being a same-sex couple and nobody minds. It's if you sort of push those boundaries a bit that the people surrounding tend to take offence.
And good on ROCK for pushing those boundaries, as it should be, because it's not so offensive. Now, one thing caught my ear, though. He was talking about how men who are gay or M2F folks who have transitioned find it more difficult than being a lesbian. Why do you think this is?
Well, it comes
as
back
a gay
to,
man, Matt, I'm asking you.
Well, not as a Cambodian gay man, but it comes back to, again, this idea of the gender roles. So there's quite a tolerance for sexual behaviour amongst young gay men. That's okay, experimenting, that's fine, you know, that's a part of growing up. But the role of the woman is still to be the bearer of children, the binding element of the family unit. So if you are a woman and you're not doing that, then it's a lot harder for lesbians in Cambodia. The traditional gender roles don't include being lesbian.
And we'll hear him talk about later how if you're a mother, or rather when you come out, it's actually the mothers panic more about their lesbian daughters than anything else, for probably just that reason. Although I reckon it's more difficult for gay men just because of general stereotypings, and the same reason why I feel like if you were in Orange or Dubbo, that perhaps it might be more difficult to be a gay man than a lesbian. Maybe I'm wrong.
But again, he he was saying that they're doing a whole lot of outreach activities in their provinces. So they're actually getting the message out around Pride events and taking it out to the provinces.
In 20 of the 24 provinces.
Which is, again, for the size of their organisation, is fantastic. Very progressive.
So if you have any thoughts on that or any thoughts on why it's more difficult to be a gay man than a lesbian, feel free to SMS us 0427-JOY949, give Robert a ring, 1-300-JOY949, or email us at onair@joy.org.au.
And time for a song. We have a singer named Bochan and her song Out of My Head. She's a Cambodian-American singer born in Phnom Penh and now in America. And this is her song, Out of My Head.
Cambodia, the country of mixes, the country where Shron Shron from Rainbow Organization Community of Kampuchea is talking to us about how 70-year-old people living through the Khmer Rouge are there. The royal family is broadly publicly supportive, yet still lesbians are spending 5 years in prison and they're still having to do a lot of work to convince policemen, for example, to issue marriage certificates to the homosexual couples. Luckily, some of them are being convinced.
It's interesting that the Cambodia has become quite a mecca for gay tourism, though. So places like Siem Reap, which are great tourist places, have created this niche of gay tourism. So lots of small gay-friendly bars popping up, lots of gay-specific accommodation.
I hear they have some interesting
some
names.
Some great names. There's the Golden Banana and Cockatoo.
Oh, jeez. Just one cockatoo.
And then Bars Linga, which is an airy cocktail bar with artwork on the walls. Really important in showing the, I guess, the Western openness in a country that's not hugely rich. It's also a chance for them to get some money coming in and, I guess show the locals that, you know, being open and gay is quite okay.
Well, and also, though, they've got the French colonisation history, which means they're not necessarily oppressive. The royal family's got its history of LGBT people. So although it may be somewhat a Western concept, it's also not necessarily. And we've heard Shron Shron talking about how there were indigenous people that are part of his organization, and those indigenous people living in the provinces were most definitely involved and gay and out there. And that's definitely one of the more interesting aspects. So it's not just the Western influence drawing tourists coming in. But we do hear now about some of the social media. We asked Shron Shron about what was most difficult and also, how social media is influencing gay life in Cambodia.
For young people to come out?
For the one who can use Facebook, the one who can use the technology, they are very, the way of coming out is very quick. Some of them just 12 years old or 14 years old, they're coming out, but only through Facebook. So compared to the old people or the young people who live in the rural areas, the way of coming out is very much different. Because at least the young people who can use the Facebook, they can coming out to their friend. They can contact with from one friend to another, from one province to another province. But for those young people or the old people who are LGBT in the rural area, they cannot easy to coming out. Actually, when I say that we have a lot of couples, because they already are old. Some of them 50 years old, 60 years old, 80 years old, and they live together for 20 years, 40 years. And it shows very positive way for us as LGBT activists. We just feel that Cambodians will have a very good environment when we discuss about LGBT community in the next 5 years.
What are the biggest problems facing LGBT people in Cambodia today?
The biggest problem is about the coming out. The coming out, actually, when the young people, they start to use the mobile phone or the technology like the Facebook or internet, so they connect each other very widely. But that is the causes of their family and unaccepted. So a lot of family has been set up as well. who come and treat their children to be not being gay. So when the coming out is very wide, all the children start to talk about their human rights, about right to love, or talk about their gender identity. And then the parents start to move as well. They feel that now their children seem very different after the Korean or the Westernized come to Cambodia. So there is a lot of issue influence from the Western country or from Thai or from Korea. So the family unaccepted is the basic problem that most of the LGBT people are really face. Example, when the lesbian friends who are still studying at high school, and then they start to make love with another girl, and if the parent know that they love another girl, the parent always use two things. One is about force the daughter to get married a man, and the second, the parent just send them to Kru Khmer. Kru Khmer is a traditional psychology. Cambodian people believe that this type of Kru Khmer can treat people from being gay or from being lesbian to be straight people.
Do a lot of people go to this? Are a lot of people sent to their psychologist?
Mostly the ones who are living in the rural province or the rural area, they use this. For the people in Phnom Penh, mostly the parents just try to force their children to get married with a man, or they start to, a type of arrest. So they keep their children in the house. They don't allow their children to go to meet any friends, or some of the experience, the parents stop them from going to school or stop their children from going to work. So the coming out issue is very, very important for now when we try to work and we try to... mother always the one who take care of all the children. So the mother, the one who always try to treat their children to be heterosexual.
And that is Srun Srun from Rainbow Community Kampuchea, where tonight we are in Cambodia.
You're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, and tonight we've been stopped off in Cambodia. And what a fascinating place.
Absolutely a fascinating place. Now, that last one, how mobile phones, Facebook is helping people to come out more, but sometimes those parents, forced marriage or forcing people to see traditional psychologists or daughters under house arrest, stopping them from going to school, which actually goes against the UN Declaration of Rights for the Child, but we won't get into that right now. It's mostly the mothers, those upset mothers.
Yeah, and it comes back to these social norms of, being the one to carry on the family tradition, to give birth to children, bring them along. Really interesting, though, that this the advent of the internet and making it so much more accessible. And he said young people are coming out quickly. So they sort of get on there, see the world that's out there and say, right, well...
And in fact, it was actually Facebook, how Srun Srun got a hold of us. He contacted us and said, I would love to be on your show. Like, very savvy, very onto it, very media-orientated technology generation. And the advocacy workers like Srun Srun are catching on to this and harnessing that younger energy. So go the younger generation. But as for the parents doing that forced marriage and house arrest, not so cool.
Time for a bit more music. This is, we heard earlier on the show from Saray Savi, who is an artist in Cambodia. In fact, Savi is Cambodia's first openly gay singer and under a different name went on America's Got Talent. So got quite a bit of a profile and putting out songs. This is a mix called Tonight with TJ featuring Saray Savi. It's the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. It's the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we have been in Cambodia. And I don't know about you, Squirrel, but I'm quite surprised that it's actually quite progressive and the amount of change that seems to be happening very quickly is very inspiring. We've been hearing about the great work of Rainbow Community Kampuchea, Rock Kampuchea.
They rock.
They do rock. They do.
And Cambodia in general rocks, I think, for the progress it had made and the progress it is making.
Absolutely. And the politicians have actually started speaking out publicly against discrimination towards LGBT people. For the first time, the LGBT community has been consulted as a part of the National Action Plan for Violence Against Women. There's been a whole lot more work done in HIV and STI prevention and treatment. So some really positive changes going on there.
Yes, and what I really liked is that Sean, as we said earlier, contacted us via Facebook. So if you're listening and you're from a country and you're like, oh, I'd love to chat to the World Wide Wave crew about my particular country or situation, you can feel free to get a hold of us at W3Joy on Facebook or just World Wide Wave on Facebook.
And while you're there, you can also type in Rock Kampuchea or Cambodia Pride and check out their Facebook pages who've interacted with us on Facebook this week. And a thank you to Robert for manning the front desk for us. Taking you out tonight, our final song from Cambodia is by the group Dengue Fever. This is Tiger Phone Card. The Cambodian-born singer leads the group, American-based group. This is Tiger Phone Card.
And next week we'll be off to the Ukraine, so we'll catch you then. Enjoy your week here on the World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9.
Big hello to Hikaru, Matt and Kevin.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.